By now, you should know, and I hope that we have made it very clear, that April is Financial Literacy Month. And this show, is, as you know, is based on financial literacy. And one of those that supports the program because of that, and one of those who is always asking his military membership, wherever they are around the world, are you financially fit, is Artie Arteaga of the Defense Credit Union Council. They represent installations, credit unions on installations all over the world. And they also see the good good purpose of supporting this program. So without hesitancy, I tell you when I have someone who's involved other than just as a guest, and that is Artie. Artie, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for asking us to come back, Paul. I certainly appreciate it, especially during this week.
Well, it's a special time, isn't it?
Yes, oh, absolutely. I mean, April 1st, certainly you can be, noted by people as April Fool's Day, but as I think my good friend Gigi might have mentioned and many others in the community, it's certainly no joke when we talk about financial education.
April Wise Day is.
April Wise, I like
that's
that.
That's right. It's April Wise Day. When you start talking about what we can do collectively to be financially literate, to be better prepared to handle our finances, not only in the civilian world but in the military world, that's financially wise, and you know that.
Well, and you're absolutely right. In fact, last month during our defense issue seminar here in Washington, D.C., Ms. Rosemary Williams, who is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policy, and basically in charge of financial readiness in the military, left a really good message with our members that attended this meeting, and she indicated that just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to ensure the financial fitness and readiness of our troops. And BUD is and FINRA Education Foundation is part of that family, Gigi and NCUF, because they're out in the community where about 66% of our troops reside, certainly a part of that community. And the Defense Credit Union Council and every single one of our credit unions on military bases around the world are an integral part of that particular
budget. And, you know, it was interesting, Artie, because Bud said something I thought was worthy of hearing again. And that is he pointed out that the military is not following on this. They are leading the way in terms of how we get to financial literacy in terms of our nation, in terms of our people, and that the military is doing so much, but it takes a village, so it's everybody working together, but they are making progress.
Well, they are making progress. The Financial Readiness Campaign launched in 2003. We've been a chartered member of that campaign from the very beginning, and so has FINRA, to be honest with you, and certainly there have been some major improvements, not only in the financial fitness of our troops and their families, but quite honestly, in the resources that we've been able to provide as partners to the Department of Defense and the resources that the Department of Defense has been able to pull together, such as their Military OneSource website, which we highly recommend to not only our troops and families, but any organization that wants to become affiliated with this.
And when you say we, you're talking about the Defense Credit Union Council. Explain that to our audience. How does it work? What do you do?
Well, the Defense Credit Union Council, again, supports the credit unions that are on military bases around the world. We currently have somewhere in the neighborhood about 190 credit unions that are in over 250 military installations. And they work hand in hand not only with the respective military commanders, but also with the personal financial managers that are on those military bases. Not during the month, not just during the month of April, but all year long, our members have actually signed up with the Department of Defense to ensure that if financial readiness classes are needed, financial education is needed, that they're there to provide that education and to work with our troops and their families to, again, enhance that particular posture. Every single year I go out to our members and there's many things that we can focus on in terms of financial education, but I always go back to the United States Treasury, the Treasury Department's core competencies. And I know when I was on the President's Advisory Council for Financial Capability, we talked about these competencies, and they still exist today. And we're talking about earning. We're talking about spending. We're talking about saving, borrowing, and protecting. And those are the basics that I think every troop and the families out there need to really understand. And if they do that, then I think they get a great grasp of what's happening with their finances.
And the important part of that ultimately is that the military has a mission. And that mission is the protection of this nation and its people. And if you're worried about finances, and God knows if it takes over your head because you're in trouble, it affects whether you're going to be a good defender.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the logic here is that if a troop is out, whether they be deployed or even here in garrison, if their mind is elsewhere, if their mind is on finances because they're not able to make a payment or they live paycheck to paycheck, then they're not going to be focused on their primary mission in life, at least while they're in uniform, and that's to protect this nation and to ensure our freedoms. And the same when they're in a deployed area there. I mean, it just works exactly the same way.
Right. One of the other things that I think is important, too, is that you don't stop the care and the concern because you've left your post and you're back here. There is follow-up on what happens to our troops returning from wherever they might be that you guys care about.
Well, sure there is. I mean, again, all of our members on military bases have websites, obviously, and there's so much information on those websites in terms of financial education. As I mentioned, the Department of Defense has it as well. So when they're deployed, they certainly still have the tools that are necessary to maintain their basic understanding of as I said, those core competencies. But when they return, then you need to meet eyeball to eyeball with those personal financial managers that belong to the department or with the credit union that's on the base. Certainly, when it comes to the competency known as earning, our troops need to understand that as they return, they're going to lose some of the pay and allowances that they're drawing while they're overseas. They're going to have to start paying their taxes once again when they get back here in the United States. Obviously, that's earning potential, the net pay is going to be reduced significantly in that area, and that's when they need to get on a spending plan and really understand how to meet those bills on a timely basis and ensure that they don't go after wants versus needs in their pursuit here.
I think it's so worthwhile, Artie. As we know, we don't come back to a situation sometimes or most of the time where we are also financially literate and so financially well structured that we can provide the kind of support that our military people coming back into the civilian side needs. It has to be organized. There has to be groups and programs that are in place to keep these folks from falling through the cracks.
Well, and that's why I'm so proud of what the Department of Defense, I'm so proud of the Defense Credit Union Council being part of this village that Ms. Williams talks about. That village is there, 724-365, when the troops come out, when they go out. It doesn't make a difference. What we need in this village, though, are citizens that are willing to take advantage of the village, and that's our troops and the families. Those are the citizens of the village, Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
And if those citizens don't reach out, and if we're not reaching out to the citizens, then something's going to go awry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can again assure you that our credit unions, our military bases, are there at the ready, at the vanguard, standing tall, looking forward to helping our troops at any time of day.
Artie Arteaga is my guest. He is head of the Defense Credit Union Council. It's all about making sure that our troops are looked after and that they are, they have the foundation that they need and the background and the capabilities that they need when they come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fact that on the other side of the various facilities around the world, our credit unions right here that work hand in hand because it is part of that village. It's part of that working together to look after you. So if you're coming out of the service, listen closely when we come back. There are ways that you can look after yourself and your family. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. I am your host, Paul Berry, along with one of the sponsors of this program, Artie Arteaga from the Defense Credit Union Council. They see the good sense, folks, in making sure that you are financially fit, whether it comes to your home, your family, or your future. And no one is more concerned about that than Artie Arteaga, no stranger to this desk and to these microphones. And Artie, I think we both share the same concern. We're bringing home a lot of servicemen because at this point, some of our campaigns are either finished or winding down. And so what we have are young men and women coming out of, whether you like to call it or not, it's a structured program. Their finances come to them in a structured way. And all of a sudden, they're out here in a great big wide world. I know that's of concern to you.
Well, it's a major concern to us, quite honestly. As you indicated, many of our troops are returning back home. Given the Department of Defense budgets and the reductions in funding that are ongoing, certainly the force is going to reduce in strength. And when they reduce in strength, these young honorable folks are going to be coming out to the civilian sector.
Yeah.
When they do that, what happens? I mean, all of a sudden, does the financial training go awry? Does it go back on the shelf somewhere and they forget about everything that they learned? That's where we have a handoff, Paul. That's where we have a handoff. The one of the other partners in this village that I keep speaking about is the CFPB and the Office of Service Member Affairs there. Holly Petraeus and her folks there actually do a great job. They just released and just secured a contract with the Armed Forces Service Corporation, I believe they are, to actually hire counselors so that they could counsel our veterans as they're transitioning
out.
And so I had the pleasure, I think, this past week with Gigi Hyland, quite honestly, last week of attending one of their programs here in the Washington, D.C. area, in Georgetown specifically. I was able to talk to some of those counselors, and what I portrayed to them, quite frankly, is that I believe our credit unions on base and credit unions in the community are doing a great job. But when our troops walk out the gate, they need somebody there to transition. So it's like running a race, a relay race. I have the baton right now, and I'm ready to give them, these new counselors that are going to be out there, the baton so that they in turn can continue all of the good messaging that we've provided over their career.
So important. And if you do that, then those good messages and those lessons learned continue because there's somebody reinforcing. And credit unions are all over the United States. And, of course, they are willing and ready to the degree that they can is to hold hands with our military saying, come on down, come on over, transfer your account, whatever you got to do, but keep it in the credit union family.
Well, and I think the key here, Paul, and the message that I would love to send our troops and their families that are listening into this particular show, look for trusted agents. You need to look at those that you can trust. When you're on active duty, you know you can trust your first line leaders and your leaders in the military, and you can certainly trust your credit union on military bases because that's what we're all about. When they walk out the door and you're ready to transition into the civilian sector, look for those trusted agents. And I just mentioned one of them coming out of CFPB and Office of Service Members Affairs. There's going to be so many businesses out there that are going to be looking to try to I don't really want to use the word, but I am target our troops to see what they can offer them. And so stay away from that area, folks. Stay away from that area. Don't go towards those predatory lenders. Always vet issues and make certain that you always end up doing business with a trusted person.
And absolutely, folks, if, in fact, you have to walk into somewhere to get some help, walk into your credit union. You know, you may not have a relationship, but before you go to a predatory lender who's going to charge you some onerous number of interest rate, walk in there and say, I'm sergeant or captain formerly with so-and-so. I want to take care of my business. They're going to listen to you.
And if you already have that account with the credit union, then as you walk out the gate, you don't need to surrender that account. You keep that account. Once a member, always a member. And with the technology we have today, Paul, whether it's going to internet banking or whatever the case may be, I guarantee you that you do not have to surrender that membership with that credit union. They are your trusted agent. They are your trusted agent for life. Use them.
We got just a minute left. Anything yet that is a
couple of... I would just real quick like to suggest to you, as I mentioned, I would encourage all our troops to always focus on the core competencies, to learn as much as they can about earning, spending, saving, borrowing, and protecting. But also understand that while you're on active duty, the Department of Defense has eight pillars of financial readiness that they want you to focus on. That's your good credit, your financial stability, your routine savings. Focus on thrift savings account. Make sure that you look at SGLI as an insurance possibility. Always use some of the morale, welfare, recreation activities out there, which are low cost, and security clearances. Be very mindful of what you do because it could impact your security.
Financial literacy, that's what it's all about. Artie Arteaga, that's what you're all about. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you so much. Al Peterson, thank you so much for running the board. We'll be back next week looking for you. Have a great April.